السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's welcome مفتي حسن علي سليمان. مفتي صاحب، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
آمين.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. How's everything on your side, Pakistan? How's the weather? The rain still coming upon you people?
Alhamdulillah. We have rain and cloudy weather, and so the temperature is much lower than it was a couple of weeks ago. So Alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful.
Alhamdulillah. And Pakistan, what's the latest? You can give us some eyewitness news.
Nothing really. I think people just getting ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a very big day here, okay? It's Independence Day, 14th of August. So this is what holiday everybody celebrates.
Mm.
Okay, no matter who you are, including the people in the madrasa.
Mufti Sahab, I saw an interesting post you just sent just now. 43% of boys are raised by single mothers. 78% of teachers are female. So almost 50% of boys have 100% feminine influence while at home. An 8 to 10-ish chance, 8 out of 10-ish chance of 100% influence at school. Toxic masculinity isn't the problem. Lack of it is. So this is an interesting statement. Maybe you can elaborate on this.
Yeah, well, the big thing in the West is allegedly toxic masculinity. When men speak up as men, the women don't like it. The powers that be don't like it. Some like an Andrew Tate speaks very strong. Much of his opinions are correct. Women are not, but people don't like the way he talks. But most of the time, he's speaking facts and truth. So they call it toxic. Toxic is what? Poison, right?
Mm.
Toxic masculinity. A poisonous type of masculinity.
Mm.
But, so this poll this shows that we're just surrounded by women. If the man is too masculine, then who raised him?
Mm.
Okay, it's a woman. So that's normally not the case. That he's too masculine.
Hmm.
He has to compensate. Because your mother can't teach you everything. When I was small, we always said, your mother can't teach you how to urinate standing up. Okay? She doesn't have the same equipment that you do that allows you to urinate standing up. So you need a man. Even when two lesbians get together, and have a baby through, this artificial insemination and other things. When the boy, if it's a boy and he grows up, they'll still take that boy to an uncle or something, or something like that. So to teach him things that boys need to know that a woman can't teach.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's right. There's a lack of masculinity out there for a boy to learn from, with the kufar.
I must remind the listeners, because many of them may not know, and they're probably raising eyebrows. Mufti Hasan Ali Suleiman was taught to stand and urinate and that, but we need to know also that Mufti Hasan Ali Suleiman is a revert, so that was prior to it. But it's just the whole concept is so strange. After that, they wash their hands. So after the dripping and everything.
The big thing is with women is that we always lift up the feet of the commode, okay, when we urinate, and then we walk away. And when they come, they have to put the feet down so they can use it. That was a big thing. With the non-Muslims.
and they say we're going to share the same, like many places now I've heard, and people have sent it through, that it's unisex toilets. So you could just use any toilet that you want. You know, Mufti Saab, There was, okay, I'll just leave that because it's going to be a bit too controversial. But anyway, imagine those men with sick minds, they can now go into, if you imagine there's a World Cup and there's a, you going into that place to relieve yourself, and you know there's a whole load of Brazilian or Portuguese women in there, and you've got a sick mind, and this all of a sudden becomes fine for you. This is their sick ways. And then where does, imagine, like you've said, where's the equality then? Because if you're saying equal toilets, same toilets, then how come the man gets to stand and the woman can't? There's already some clear differences which you can't eliminate, you can't hide it out. But here's something scary, Mufti Sapa. We went to the Hakim Sab the other day, and he told us, he gave us some scary facts. And one of the studies that they have conducted recently, him and his friends, meaning Hakim's also in that same fraternity. So they did a study on one of the products that they are using. He said he's going to let it out slowly, and then he'll inform you what's the products and that. But this product, it has the ability to make you, if you are masculine, it will have make you feel more inclined towards feminine, like change. I don't know how does this work, but apparently he said in fish and frogs it's been working. They've done experiments on it, and this is a killer product. We have to be aware of it. So when he lets me know about it, I don't know how much of information you can share with us, Mufti Sahab.
No, I never heard of that. But I've always wanted them to have tests on Ken Veer, on pig. They say that the homosexual community says that 10% of the world is homosexual. Okay, so they say, and higher rates of alleged this homosexuality in countries that like the West or countries that eat pigs. Okay, and they say that pigs are like that. A pig will have sex with its mother, with its brother. It doesn't matter. Okay, I feel that there should have been some sort of test for that, because you are what you eat. That's what they say. All right, you are what you eat, and the feelings of the pig will go in you. All right, we're told as Muslims, don't ride on a saddle that was made from an animal that was a predator animal, because that type of personality will come in you just by riding on the saddle. So what about eating the meat of an animal like a pig? Okay, and when I was Muslim, God is structural. When I was non-Muslim, we could eat pig 3 times a day. Okay, we could have bacon for breakfast. We could have a ham sandwich for lunch, and pork chops for dinner, and that would not be uncommon. Okay, so that's my thing. I understand what the Hakim is saying, but although I haven't heard of it, but I've been thinking like this for many years. How come no study has been done for this?
And now we're speaking about sitting on the saddle of, but what about David Bennett, who was the first person in the world to receive a heart transplant from a genetically modified pig? And he died 2 months after the surgery. So it was supposed to make him live, but this pig of a heart made this person die. And I often, when this whole thing came out, I said, if his wife tells him that, you know what, you've really got a heart of a pig, she won't be lying. Because he really does have a heart of a pig. So this is after 2 months he died, and that was the after doing so much of research at the University of Maryland Medical Center, and then the man dies. So what benefit was it?
And heart surgery has always been controversial. Okay, when I was a kid, that's when they had the first Dr. Christian Barnard in South Africa.
South Africa.
It was always a white a white person who needed a hat, a heart, and then they always took it from a black person.
Mm.
Okay, and this was during the time of apartheid.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. They didn't have anything to do with black people, even though they were the majority.
Mm.
But if they needed a heart, okay, let's wait for someone to die from the black community. Let's grab their heart real quick and put it in a white person and see how long he can live.
And
Dr. Christian Barnard was so famous in America.
Mm.
Oh, he was praised. He was like, oh man, amazing.
Yeah.
But they never told us about the people they got the heart from.
Mm.
It wasn't until I was older, you know, it came into Islam and then investigated and found out, what? This is how they did it, huh? They wouldn't do it from their own people.
Exactly,
they used us as guinea pigs like they've been doing for so many years.
Exactly. Just before we leave you, I recall clearly they came to our school and they did a whole investigation and how this whole heart transplant, they were giving us like a model of it. But they actually brought someone's real heart into the auditorium and they showed it to us. They said, this is how the heart looks, and they made us come there around it. And I don't think we felt it or whatever, but we did see it. A real heart, like you say, whose heart was that? Anyway, we will speak to you again tomorrow, Mufti Saab. We enjoy your company. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.